everyone, Eric here. It's been a little over 2 months since I uploaded a new episode, and quite a lot has happened in that time. I can't just jump back into the mix without first acknowledging that COVID is still ravaging queer, trans, black, indigenous, people of color at disproportionate rates. Black Lives Matter is still leading the fight to defund the police and end police violence in our communities. Rent is still due, and politicians continue to do the bare minimum to address the issue. It's all overwhelming, and I hope that all of y'all are taking care of your families, loved ones, and yourselves in these trying times. I've been reflecting while in quarantine, and I've made writing one of my priorities again. Writing was a big part of my life for years, but I got too comfortable at my nonprofit jobs and lost touch. That's why I'm grateful to still be part of the team at LA Taco and to have the opportunity to have my writing published there. Which brings me to the episode you are about to listen. I wrote about Andy and her Instagram account, Latinx with Plants, in June for LA Taco. Andy has been on the show before in episode 7 with the artist collective Ni Santas. So when I started brainstorming ideas for my next podcast interview, I reached out to Andy to follow up on the story I wrote. I got a lot of positive feedback on the profile, and it was awesome seeing folks sharing the story on social media. Since then, Andy was also profiled by the LA Times, and her Instagram following has increased by the thousands. I won't spoil our conversation, but Andy makes a big announcement toward the end of our interview. Enjoy the episode. All right, Andy. So, I'm following up with you when I did the LA Taco article, and then after that, the LA Times wrote an article. So, what was the difference you saw before and after the articles were published?
Wow, it was overwhelming. It was unexpected. I mean, the fact that you wanted to do a story on the project. Felt like it was the support I wanted right away. It was, you were from the community. We've known each other for a while now, mm-hmm. I think since like the OBAs.
Yeah, and it's like 10 plus years.
Yeah, 10 plus years. I think 11 years. So having that support already like pumps me up, and it's the support I want. So the reaction was great. I think I gained since then, I think like 10,000.
Yeah, we were talking about that when we were checking in. So when I talked to Andy, they had about 2,000 some followers, and after both LA Taco article and the LA Times article, it jumped to more than 12,000 now.
Yeah, and it's I try not to care, but when you're running a business, that determines, you know, that's your credibility in a sense.
Yeah. More people get to know who you are and what you're doing.
And, I mean, I appreciate what you guys did. I think your approach was different than LA Times. And, mm-hmm. and you know, LA Times generates
A
lot of attention. But the attention that I got from LA Taco was the attention that I've always craved. You know, I always want my community and my people's approval. Even though I want to say I don't care what anybody thinks, I think deep down inside we want to make everyone proud and we want to make our community proud.
Yeah, no, I definitely view that. So even I was able to ride that wave because I started getting followers too, and I was like, wow, y'all are going to be really disappointed about what I post.
I don't think so. I think now we put in so much work into what we love that. It's only a matter of time before we get recognized mm-hmm. for what mm-hmm. we love to do, and that our efforts to really tell our truths and our community's truths is celebrated.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, this obviously wasn't just because, you know, two news organizations wrote two pieces. It was like a snowball effect, right? Both of us wrote the articles. They went out. And then it also meant a lot that a lot of folks in the neighborhood, in the community, in our networks mm-hmm. were sharing them, you know, because they're supporting each of us for each reason that they have, because they know us, They see what we're doing, and they know that we're trying to be genuine about it. So it was also really great to see that. How did you see folks sharing it?
Sharing the news or sharing what I'm doing?
Articles.
I mean, that again was overwhelming because, I mean, it's easy to follow other pages or more successful pages that are creating like high quality content. But I was okay with that. I was okay with setting myself apart from that, from something that was already being made or done. I felt like, you know what, your approach is going to be different. It's going to be genuine to who you are. And hopefully people will embrace it and see that it's someone just like them trying to highlight people like us and put us on the map in the plant world, where we obviously know it's predominantly white for many reasons.
That's something we talked about in the interview, but I didn't get a chance to talk too much about it in the article because, you know, there's only so much space. But in the interview we talked about that, because there is a big difference in terms of how Planned Parenthood is perceived by, you know, like most mainstream people who tend to be white, and then all the other POC folks, you know, in their communities who are doing it. And yeah, it definitely comes down to a lot of the aesthetic that most people want to present and, you know, have really beautiful looking pictures versus the more holistic approach, I think, the more other folks are taking, right? Because they grew up with it or it's part of their culture.
And I think that's what I want to highlight the most and embrace and celebrate and let them know, like, yo, we've been doing this for a long time. This ain't nothing new to us. But just because we can't get those fancy exotic plants doesn't mean our connection to them is less.
Yeah. Because, I mean, once we talked and I wrote the piece, I really started thinking about that, because I think when folks, you know, they put the intention of, I'm just going to do this for cosmetic reasons, you lose the connection that whatever it is you're trying to take a picture of has. So with plants, I think for a lot of folks, they just probably think it's pretty, but then they don't know what the history of the plant is, where it's from, what, you know, kind of history it might have. And even to an extent, you know, if they might be allergic to it.
Or their pets might be allergic.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, you might think you're bringing in something because it looks pretty, but then you don't know if it'll be able to, like, fully thrive in the environment you're bringing it in.
I mean, you know? I'm probably shooting myself in the foot with this comment, but, for example, the dumb cane. The dumb cane is such a popular indoor plant. But I've come to learn that it's pretty toxic.
If you eat it?
Yes, it's dumb. It's because when you swallow, ingest it, it numbs your throat, and I guess you can't.
Oh, wow.
Something hardcore like that. But I bought a really large one when I moved into my little apartment, and I had it next to my bed. And for some reason, the whole week, for 2 weeks, I had fatigue. I wasn't myself. I just wanted to sleep. And then I had a conversation with an elder maybe like a week later, and we started talking about plants. And he's like, oh, yeah, don't put that near you. And I was like, I don't know if it's a myth or it's like, or it was just like me not being able to keep this plant healthy and alive. But I was always like, oh, I want to stay away from that one. She's over there too, looking at me, like, giving me the side eye.
In the corner. No, but that's real, right? I mean, it's somebody who all of a sudden started developing adult allergies. It was like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
You really have to be intentional of what you bring into your home and what you keep around you. Because, yeah, I mean, with you, it was that you felt you were being drained. I mean, I can only imagine if somebody had an allergic reaction and it turned into something different.
Yeah, I mean, I love being close to my plants. So each time you handle certain plants, specifically like the dumb cane, you're supposed to wash your hands. And again, like it all comes down to respecting and really taking care of your plants and knowing what they can provide and what they can also do for you in terms of health, if they can harm you also.
Yeah, because I can totally see having a pet and they're going to go up to the plant and try to take a bite out of it, and you're all of a sudden, what's wrong?
Yeah, for kids, adults, you know, accidents happen, so intentions matter.
No, yeah. And so with all the articles being shared and you getting feedback, what was some of the comments and like messages you were getting from folks, when both from like folks that already saw you and were like excited for you that you were getting this attention, and then folks who were learning about you for the first time?
It for the most part, it has been positive. I think that more than anything, a lot of folks were just excited to see someone like them being represented in this world, and with a different style, different approach to it. So they were happy to be seen and also feel like I could potentially highlight them as well and give them a shout out or let other folks know, like, hey, like, we have this connection, we have the skills to style them and put them in our homes and celebrate them in a different way that we don't usually see. And of course, it's like, I've been in the community, I've worked with through the arts and through activism, and now doing a plant business and how I'm incorporating all of that together now, how it's all coming together and how it's just different. Well, that's just how I feel like people are taking it, but they're all sweet comments. I really feel like the plant community, I should have been in the plant community 10 years ago.
10 years ago, we didn't have Instagram. Yeah,
true, but I think it's a beautiful way to build community. I've done the art and the activism, but I feel like it's limited to the folks that can take part of it. When it comes to art, yeah, they can buy, but art is also, I don't want to say expensive because it has value, but it's unattainable for some folks. Like, I can't afford my own artwork, you know? And it's, but they can support, but they can't really take part. Like, most people, not everyone can take part. Activism, same way, you know? Some can go to marches, come to the meetings. When you're young, it's easy, but when you get older, you're having to start think about your future and how to be self-sustainable
and other responsibilities.
And other responsibilities. Like, for now, the business is part of my, it's a project, but also a business, and it's a necessity. It's a necessity for me to be mentally healthy, but also to generate some money to help my father, who's not doing well. And I can't expect to just get charity, you know? I mean, I've always had a hard time asking for money, but at this point, I don't care. I'm like, can you help me? Can you
help me? That vergüenza is going away.
Yeah, yo, like, cuando tienes necesidad, you're not too proud to beg anymore.
No, but it's also not, you know, you're not asking because you're being selfish or you're doing something. It's like you need help to do something for somebody else. In this case, your dad. You want to take care of him, yeah.
Yeah, I have a lot to, like in the article says, I have him, I love him so much, and I didn't know I was going to have to take care of him at such a young age, but you know what? It could have been worse, and I'm just grateful that he's alive and that I can bring some joy to him again, because, you know, when you age, you start getting depressed, you start getting all these health issues, and we're not coming from money, so it's hard to live your best life when you're broke and unhealthy.
Yeah, it all comes, like, it stacks up, and it just creates a really toxic, you know, kind of mentality where I've been down there, and it's hard to see the positive in things, because all around you is just negativity and how bad things are in terms of your health, your finances, living situation, relationships. It's just like one thing after another.
I feel like I first joked about this, but I feel like I'm really feeling that I'm asexual, because I'm just so focused on work that I'm like, how am I not worried about the rest of my life? That I'm just like, this is my baby. But that's my maternal instincts now that are coming into play. My biological clock has been ticking, but I'm like,
Like, snooze.
Snooze. Or let's compromise, you know? My collectives and my business endeavors are going to be my babies now. And I want to feel good about that and proud and share that this is the new norm, you know? Having our pets, having our plants is the new norm. And it's okay if you can't afford a baby. It's okay if you don't want babies. It's okay if you don't want a relationship. You can still have a fulfilled life doing what you love.
Oh, my God. I'm getting that same vibe that I got watching the Walter Mercado documentary.
Oh, so good. I've only seen the trailer, but I already was, like, getting super emotional. Of like,
yeah. I mean, honestly, he really just gets into it the same way you are. It's like, look. Stop asking me questions. This is what I'm about. You either accept me or you don't.
Yeah.
You know?
Why? You're right. He did mention that he was asexual.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because I've been having this conversation. Someone told me, he's like, are you asexual? Are you into girls or guys? I don't, does it matter?
What?
I'm like, but at
why
the same
time. Why does that matter to you first?
Exactly. But I was also kind of like, kind of proud of that. Like, who cares? Like, I like the fact that I'm not easy to read sometimes. You know? Like, I haven't had this is more of my personal life, but I think it's important. It's a big part of me that I haven't had an official relationship in like 10, 11 years. And I feel that I was hurt. Alguien me lastimó. But I'm glad that happened because if it weren't for that, I don't feel like I would have accomplished a quarter of the things I did.
Ditto. I've been in that boat where, I think I've told this story over the years to a lot of folks, but the story is, you know, I went through a really bad breakup, not because it was like, you know, bad in the sense that we ended it like badly. It was just because in my headspace, in my lack of emotional maturity back then, I took it harder than I should have. So that's how I ended up getting a mustache.
I got a nose piercing.
You want to do something to be like, I need to express something in some way, like cut your hair, shave, or whatever. Yeah. And for me, it's like that. And I'm not gonna lie, this is what I thought back then. I'm gonna do something that, you know, would make me less attractive to women. And I was like, I'm gonna grow an ugly mustache. And then it never occurred to me until like maybe a year later that it wasn't an ugly mustache. And instead of, you know,
repelling the women.
Instead of repelling them, I'm attracting the ones that like facial hair, yeah. Which actually I get along with a lot better.
Same thing happened with me. I was very insecure about my body, but then I was like, you know what? I don't care about anything. I'm going to wear my skirts. I'm going to like cut my hair, dye my hair, get my piercings, do everything that I felt like was truly me, but I was held back because I wanted to please someone. Mm. And after that, I was truly liberated, and I started organizing, you know, with the Bicycle Collective, and that, you know, I'll always have a soft spot for that collective, no matter what happens. Yeah. I think that some people go to college. I went to, you know, activism school through this collective that taught me and gave me the tools and the courage I needed to eventually start Ni Santas. And Ni Santas was another, you know, another step in my education in team building, leadership skill building.
Relationships with folks, yeah.
Yeah. Networking. I didn't know I was networking. I thought I was just building my chosen family. And instead it was, I didn't realize that I was preparing myself to eventually own a business and know who can help me with this and who can help me with everything that I needed to properly get me ready for what was to come. And that was to start my own business. And self-help, I missed out on self-help. Self-help was a big part of my life that gave me also the encouragement and the tools to thrive as an artist, as a working artist.
Giving you that space and opportunity, yeah.
Yes, totally.
You know, despite whatever the people say.
Yes. fuck with
Nobody's
you.
Nobody's perfect.
Fuck what you heard. It's not perfect, but if it weren't for them, you know, maybe Latinx wouldn't exist.
Yeah, you know, they've been around for 50 years for a reason.
You know, say what you will, but they do, they did give a lot of opportunities, and they do give still continuous support to folks that want to use the space. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously COVID has taken a toll on all organizations, but I don't see that many art organizations helping Chicano, Latinx, people of color.
No. No, not really. I mean, folk, they are there, but it's not as abundant as other places where other artists have resources, you know, to go and reach out and get support.
Exactly.
So we when we were checking in, you mentioned this, and it's something that we obviously we didn't get into in the article, but as you put it, the dark side of the plant world, right? That, mm-hmm. you know, there are other folks in this community that their sole priority is just to make money. And it's pretty common, right, in any industry, in any community. Mm-hmm. There are those folks who their sole priority is just to, like, jump on the bandwagon or something, take advantage of it, and just make money. So how have you been seeing that?
It's hard for me to say they don't have good intentions. I can't support them. Because at the end of the day, they're still spreading the word about the plant world and how we need to really focus on it. The other part is me noticing that they don't have the right intentions. Mm. That it's just a business. It's a quick buck. That they're jumping on the bandwagon, and that they don't really care about the plants. And that does piss me off, because I know plants are alive and they feel, and we can't just treat them like inanimate objects. So if you're trying to just make a buck, it will show with even the way you market yourself or the way you want to bring it to your community.
The plants will look.
Yes, they'll be all, you know, what do you call it, all droopy. And it's just, I've seen it how, and this is getting really deep into, like, the world of the plants. And so you go to your nursery and you build a relationship with that nursery. But then you start looking for cheaper prices, so you cut out that nursery. And I have kind of an issue with that, specifically because of the way I started. They gave me the jump start. They gave me the love and the support and the guidance for me to just say, like, I'm just, forget you guys. I'm going to, like.
You built a relationship with them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Peace out. I found someone cheaper and cut you out. Just like in the drug deal world.
I was going to say, this sounds like drug dealing.
it's exactly like that. We got to stay loyal. These hoes ain't loyal out here. These plant hoes ain't loyal. So I noticed that, and it did bother me to hear that it happened, but, you know, that's not my business. I'm going to stay focused. I'm going to be intentional with my business, with my projects, with the way I introduce my community to the plant world, and try to make them understand that these plants might be cheap sometimes and they might not be. And they need to respect it, because they take a long time to grow. And it's just like weed. Yeah, you can put them in a grow room, grow them, but, you know, you're mass producing something that is naturally not supposed to be. So be patient. If you really want that exotic plant, save your money. Invest in it. And I think that's the most rewarding way of acquiring and adopting your plantitas, with intention, not just be like, I'm going to search around for the cheapest plant. So that's my...
No, and I think at some point we've had this conversation before, but you just take plants and switch it to art.
Yeah.
You know, you can't be expecting artists to, like, give you their art for free if, you know, what they value it is an X amount, and then it's not the swami. You can't just be like, all right, you say that, and I say half that price.
Yeah.
I mean, if you know them personally, that's different, but, and I mean, yeah, it's, you know, artists, that's their work. That's how they're also making their living. And, you know, I've learned this over the years, especially as I've been around more artists and I myself have bought things. I was like, no, like whatever they're saying it costs, mm-hmm. to me, that's what it is.
There's a meme about this. Just like there's a meme about everything. It's like, it's like buying from POC or Black and Indigenous people is not expensive. You're just not used to paying for non-slavered work.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I've been having more and more conversations about that, specifically with folks making face masks, like custom face masks, right? You know, it. Think about it. There's a whole process that goes from finding the materials to cutting them to sewing them to getting them ready and eventually getting them to you.
Just with plants.
Yeah, exactly.
Some are like, oh, can you give it to me cheaper? I'm like, oh my God, they're already cheap.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's because from what I'm understanding, a lot of my followers are new plant parents.
Mm.
So they're learning just as I'm learning about the value of the plant. But anyone can see, like, hey, this is a pretty well taken care of plant. I wonder what went into taking care of it or making it look
this way. What was that plant's journey? You know,
exactly.
From seed to who grew it, to being at a nursery, to making its way to you, and then eventually to a parent.
Yeah, and putting it in its little pot cradle and, like, you know, cleaning it. Like, there's so much work that goes into selling plants. It's also the heat. The water, purified water. I just posted a meme about giving when you realize your girl's been giving your plants tap water. And it's like Will Smith about to cry.
He's getting roasted right now.
I know. I feel so bad. But it's like, but yeah, we have to have these conversations, specifically with those that are not familiar with the
I mean it's hard, right? Because it's money, and
it
money always complicates things. And I understand, you know, I'm just like everybody else. I would rather get a deal than, you know, go out of my way to pay for something. But at the same time, it depends, for me at least, where I'm trying to get that deal, right?
Yeah.
If it's like a faceless corporate store, I'll save all the coupons I can and get as much money off as I can. But then when it comes to the intention of, like, I'm going to go to a person and it's their product, it's their art, it's their, you know, homegrown project.
Yeah.
What they're asking is what they're getting from me.
Again, back to intentions. Like my intentions go into making sure the plantitas are healthy, are happy, so that when they take them home, they, you know, they have a jump start.
Yeah.
I noticed that when you go to when you go to a Home Depot, you'll get your plants soaked. You'll get it, like, overwatered, or you'll get it in a condition where their employees don't know how to take care of. So you're getting this plant that looks good, but when you take it home, it'll die fast, and you wonder why.
It's like a goldfish.
Yeah, exactly. And it's great for them because they can produce them like that. But to me, it's like, I want to make sure I give them a healthy plant so that when they go home and they do research and make sure they're doing everything to take care of it, that it lives and it thrives. So they don't get discouraged trying to get another plant.
Yeah.
It's not like, let it die. I mean, if you have money, you could fucking drop cash like that. Fine. But even then, I don't feel good about that. I still care about my plantitas. It's not just a business. That's why I feel like changing the language about how we acquire these plants is important.
Mm-hmm.
Adoption, it's like a baby, it's alive, it needs a lot of attention, it needs good water, it needs nutrients, it needs you to look after it every day. It's a lot of work.
And we even talked about that in the interview, that sometimes, I just randomly brought this up, that sometimes you can play music for them.
Yeah. And there's proof that they react to vibrations. So, and of course, we release a carbon monoxide.
Yeah, yep.
So, they grow from that, and then they release oxygen. So, it's a beautiful relationship. Even though you can't physically see it, your body and it feels it somehow.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's safe to say that when you go over to somebody's house who has a lot of plants, and then you go back home, You smell the difference.
Yeah. Yeah, it helps with so many things. I always like sharing this experiment. My friend who was studying biology, he told me once that there was an experiment that of them putting a plant, and they put all these sensors on it, and they put it in a room, and someone walks in there, burns the leaf, and of course the plant reacts and goes wild, and then it leaves, and then other people walk into the same room and it's fine. But when that same person that burned the leaf comes back in there without even burning it again, it started reacting, which proves that plants have feelings. And that's the type of mentality I want to remind people of having when they treat their plants. Like, whatever you do to them, even if they don't be janking the leaves off if they're dead, cut them off with a sharp knife. And I'm not, like, sometimes, of course, you make the exception, you know, and they're about to fall, you pull it. But again, just observing and being mindful.
Yeah. So with that, I did have, like, I wanted to ask you, so what are some basic steps, some advice you would give to folks? And let's just put myself in there, like me. I'm not a plant parent. I've tried plants once, and I probably most likely killed them by overwatering them. So right. what are like some of those basic
tips,
like tips for folks who, yeah, maybe they're listening to it, they read the articles, and they're like, all right, let me dip my toe in here. What would be a good starter plant? How to take care of them?
This is the trend I really hope everyone jumps on to. Like, I want people to jump on this bandwagon, because then that just means we are going to have people who didn't originally appreciate nature might finally start looking at plants a different way and the outside and nature a different way. But my favorite tips, or just basic facts that you need to know about plants. Just like you and them, we need oxygen, we need sun, and we need water and nutrients. And that just comes out of the good soil, which you could obviously make compost accordingly to your type of plant. But it's always good to underwater than to overwater. You can always save your plant from dehydration by dunking it in water for like 30 minutes.
Oh, wow.
And if you overwater it, you're going to kill it.
Yeah.
You're just going to kill it, because you can't save it from root rot. I mean, you could try, you know, once you start seeing that it's going bad and there's nothing significant evidence to let you know, it's probably because they have root rot. If it smells, it's root rot. And so you trim all the bad stuff and you put it in new soil. And bright light, yeah. They thrive in bright, indirect light, but some can be low to medium light tolerant.
So it's on that note, it also means you, as the person taking care of the plant, doing some research on your own about what kind of specific plant you have, looking them up and seeing what they need specifically, right?
Yeah, and I apologize to those who come to my pop-ups and they're like, what's this plant? I'm like, I don't know.
One question you get repeatedly.
I'm trying, but you know what? I was telling my friend, it's like, I don't care, you know? I know I have the ganas to learn, and I know I'm gonna be knowledgeable, but to know all of the plants, it's almost impossible. It's like, there's so many plants. There's so many plants. I felt confident to do it because I thought I knew a lot about plants, but then I really started venturing to different kinds. And because I love the weird ones and the ugly ones, those are the more rare ones that require other care and have more fucked up names. Like, I was like, how do you even start to pronounce this damn name for this plant? So I like giving them nicknames, you know, like the angel vine. I call her the greñuda because it's just, it reminds me of someone who didn't comb their hair. And I think that's a different type of approach of building a relationship with your plants. Naming them. I remember at one point I was able to name them all. I can't do that anymore. But I named them after my family members.
Oh, wow.
I named this one Felix after my dad, and then Maria. And then I even named one Maria Felix.
Like the actress.
because it was their both of their names, and because of the actress, and then of course I had one that said Juan Gabriel, and then so that made me feel like, okay, Juan Gabriel is not doing well. I need to fix him. I need to give him more attention, or my dad's plant is not doing well. You know, it gave me a different connection, and it made it easier for me to remember all of them.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. Outside of the responsibilities you have of, like, you know, setting up plant adoptions and other things you have going on in your life, how much time would you say you spend in one day, like, doing your rounds, taking care of the plants?
Oh, my God. It's more than one day.
It's ongoing.
Like, every day. At first, I would be like, oh, on Sundays, I water. And then
so you have your fixed day.
Yeah, but I would say that because it's just my check-in day. Like, I always check in. But since it started getting hotter, you have to check on them, like, almost every other day. That's how fast they dehydrate. There's little tricks, you know, that you can look into so that it could self-water. But, maybe, like, anywhere from 2 to 3 hours just on mine. Because I have to prune them, I have to water them, and I have to leave them in the tub. So that's another really important trick.
I've seen that. What is the tub about?
You water it and you just let it drain itself.
Oh.
Stagnant water will create.
In the pot, yeah.
Yeah, stagnant water. People are lazy. People don't want to water it and take it to the tub or put it in a proper pot, you know. So, I'm like, I'm here to tell you, stop doing that because you're going to kill your plants. Be nice to them and let them drain properly.
Yeah, you know, you take your shower, you give them a shower, everybody showered.
Yeah, exactly. You have to bathe them, you have to feed them, and you check in with them. Again, they're living creatures.
So in that same topic, I don't think you use or recommend anybody using, I guess, some of the chemicals that are out there available, like pesticides, plant cleaners.
Look.
There's so much things out there.
I'm going to tell you right now, I'm super against pesticides and all of that and GMO.
I think I've even seen kind of like spray that like helps you make the leaves brighter.
Yeah, there's different kinds. Like, and again, every plant has a different need. So some plants you might be able to polish them with coconut oil, and some might not. Some might burn or something with it. But I know there's certain, like neem oil, you can use to repel bugs. But I've had to, in very severe cases, I will give you my recipe that I was given by someone who loves and has been taking care of plants for a long time. He's his name is Juanito, and he told me when I got my bird of paradise, it was like infested with little bugs, the white ones. Oh my God, why am I spacing out?
It's just, I mean, let's just call it a bug right now.
A little bug, and you would wipe them off, but they would come back. But he told me to put a cup of 80% water, maybe a few drops of Clorox bleach. I love this other ingredient. Roma. You put a little bit of Roma.
Soap?
Roma soap. That shit is strong. You put a little bit of that. You put vinegar. And you mix it all together. And then you get a little brush. Like a little paintbrush. Or makeup brush. Whatever. Clean one. And you paint all the leaves and the tronquitos and like the branches. And then it should kill it on contact. And so once you're done doing that, you make sure you just rinse it off so you don't have that bleach smell. And I was conflicted. I'm like, I don't want to put bleach on there. But it's, do you want it to get infested or do you want it to get cured fast? You know? So I obviously want to find out more
DIY solutions.
DIY solutions. I've learned about, Yeah, vinegar and water by itself.
Soap, you know. Exactly. Little household items.
Exactly. But if you want something hardcore, my baby's infested, let me do everything I can. Just like medicine, you know, like it's harsh, but if you don't use it a lot, then, you know, todo con medida.
Yeah, yeah. No, you have to have a measured hand. All right. Well, since we've been talking about doing this interview and since the articles came out, you yourself have some big news now that you want to share with folks that you have coming up.
I have to always like take a deep breath and like kind of pinch myself because and try not to cry because it's such an emotional moment right now for me to be able to announce publicly that I was able to get a lease to my very own plantita store, my permanent plantita store here in Boyle Heights, which is so surreal because in my dreams and in how I envisioned it, I always thought it would be on Cesar Chavez or it would be on First Street. And se me hizo. Like, my dream literally came true. And I'm going to be in the one street that's just so historic and the only place that my parents could afford to take us to go eat as a family. Mm. It means so much to me to be able to contribute in different ways and hopefully retain the magic that Boyle Heights is by owning my own business, by hopefully inspiring other folks to follow their dreams in being an entrepreneur. It's a small space. It's a very modest location space, but it's fucking mine, you know? It's like,
yeah.
I'm going to be my own boss, and it scares me. But at the same time, like, what scares me most or even more is being stagnant and not doing anything with my life. And not to say that I haven't done, that I haven't, but I'm constantly searching for the next step in my life. I don't have... So it leads me to talk about how I don't have investors. I don't have loans that I can take out right away. But I do feel that I have the support of my community. So if I can use this opportunity to ask, right? Because I'm not used to doing that, you know, without giving anything in return. I'm asking my community to please help me open up this tiendita properly. I need the proper tools. I need the proper help to help me open up the space, make it a little Boyle Heights gem, because we deserve it. We deserve access to plantitas. We deserve access to things that make us feel good, that heal us, and that help us cope with COVID. And right now, with what's going on with Black Lives Matter, it's a very intense time. And I'm not saying plants are going to save the world or going to, like, cure your depression, but they can definitely start helping you manifest your healing visions or help you redirect your energy into something that can give you some peace and some solace. So yeah, I want to ask, I want to ask if you could please find it in your hearts and your pockets to donate to Latinx with Plants. You can Venmo me at Andy Soch, and I can commit to giving any donor and any donation, whether it's small or big, a modest plantita, a print, or a tote bag. Just show proof of your donation once we open up, and I'll be gladly able to gift you one of these gifts.
Yeah, yeah. So we're recording this on a Saturday, and from what we've been talking about, it seems that you are going to be officially moving forward with this come the Monday that's next week, which is July 13th. So hopefully, you know, you're listening to this that same Monday. Mm-hmm. And you will have that kind of information up on your Instagram by then, no?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll have it on my page and even on my personal page. And I'm going to be begging all of my friends. I'm going to be harassing them. Please share the page. It's my business, but I feel like it's bigger than me. I feel like I want to set that example that we can uplift each other and not depend on these corporations and these banks who hoard this money.
Mm-hmm.
How can we uplift each other and keep the momentum going of supporting each other? Because we know damn well in our community, we've always been hating on each other. And that's why we haven't thrived as best as we know we could.
Yeah. So it's a unique opportunity because as soon as, you know, you start thinking, where can I go buy plants outside of a nursery,
mm-hmm.
or like a major corporate construction store, there are no like real alternatives where your intentions are different other than you just want a plant because you need a plant or
mm-hmm.
you're doing a project in your yard or your home or something like that.
A gift.
That I think that's also becoming my go-to gift now, too.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I got you a plant.
It's unique, you know. And I also want the experience of adopting or buying a plant to be unique and special.
Yeah, because, I mean, if I were to go to a store, obviously the person there would be able to help me in some shape or form, but I doubt they would be able to give me as much information and, like, advice as you would, right?
Yeah.
You know, where I reached out to you, I came to visit you at your shop, and I'm like, oh, I love this plant. Can you tell me more about it?
Be patient with me. I will be your plant encyclopedia in no time. But if I'm not at the moment, I promise you I will. And we will figure it out. There's technology. And that's the one advantage that we have as a generation, right? That our previous generations didn't have. So not to sound like a parent, but we have no excuse not to thrive, you know?
Yeah.
At some level, at some capacity. I'm a green card holder. My green card can be taken away. And I think about the undocumented folks and the dreamers that like have put in so much work and like had nothing to stop them, you know, to keep persevering and thriving in life. Like I look at them as an example. I at least have my green card, and yes, I could lose it at any moment. And I probably could if I try to renew it, but I think this is one of the driving forces behind me building my business to make sure that I don't get deported, that I make sure that I'm here for as long as my dad is on this world, and hopefully set an example.
Yeah, you want to be self-sustainable and independent in so many different ways and just be able to take care of yourself and your family.
Yeah,
so I that's admirable because I mean, so many things get in the way of life, and it's hard to get to that level where, you know, you can be a provider for other folks and still keep your life, you know, going and moving forward.
My dream is to open up more shops and hire more people of color. Like, I have big dreams, like, and I'm like, I'm a dreamer, and I don't share my dreams, and I haven't shared this information already because like I feel like I was gonna jinx myself, like that I really didn't deserve this or that this couldn't really happen to me. But I got the keys today, so I was like, oh my god.
No, but it's that really self-doubt happening. Right?
Yeah, because I wasn't raised, most of us weren't raised with the self-esteem to make us feel like we could accomplish whatever we wanted. So my chosen family has cheered me on, and I feel that's why I want to ask my community to keep supporting me, because I want to be their success story of how, like, my community raised me.
Yeah, most definitely. I will do my best to include as much of that information in the episode description of this, but, you know, if that doesn't happen, all you have to do is just go to the Instagram page. Yeah. What's the Instagram page?
The Instagram page is Latinx with Plants. I don't have Facebook. I have a website that's latinxwithplants.com. And what else can I... And my Venmo is at Andy Soch. I'm trying to change the name, but for now, I'll just keep it like that. Just know it's going to the business and the project.
So. Yeah, and it's amazing, you know, to hear that you're moving forward, things are happening for you and that you are really going to be intentional with the space, right?
Yeah.
That it's not just going to be there for you to have plant adoptions and to talk to folks about that kind of stuff, but really putting the intention that this is going to be a community space and you're getting folks to help you make it happen, that you have this idea for it down the road. And right now you're just step one. You got the keys.
Yeah. I got the keys and my plantitas are not burning in my garage. So it's just that alone just means so much to me.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll have the links to both articles from LA Taco and LA Times in the episode description. I'll have as much info as I can about Andy's efforts to fundraise for their shop. And yeah, if you haven't already, be sure to follow them on Instagram. You get all the plant memes.
Oh, yeah. Plant memes, plant zaddies, plant mommies, everything, queer realness. And it's just like I want to celebrate everything that encompasses the plant world. And yeah, tag yourself if you're a plant person or plant parent. I will do my best to repost. I want people to create content too. So if you're on there and you only have one picture of yourself with a plant, please create more content so that when people see your page, they'll be like, all right, this is what they're about. So
yeah. And that also goes back to the beginnings of you and starting the account, because you wanted to see this, you wanted to see more folks being represented in the plant community.
And of course, Dereal from Black with Plants was a big motivation. He was like, get me his blessings and also follow him, follow his efforts, everything, East Coast, West Coast, Black and Brown Unity. This is what it's about. This is how we move forward and we thrive as Black, Indigenous, people of color.
Yeah, couldn't have said it better myself. So thank you, Andy, again, you know, for giving me the time, for inviting me to your space, and for sharing the news with me that, you know, things are moving forward. I can't wait to see it happen.
I can't do it without you guys. Thank you so much.
Yeah, so thanks, everybody, for listening.
Bye.